Perhaps some of you, like me, have over the course of many years taken many pictures and then you've put them in albums and ordered them chronologically. Now, probably none of us have those hard-covered albums anymore. Now everything's on the cloud somewhere, and in some ways it makes it harder to find those pictures at times. But this idea of our taking photographs of our lives are very important because these pictures help to say something about our story. They say something about who we are and about our family. And although these photos are not the events or the people themselves, they are a way that help all of us to remember the unfolding of our life's narrative. And they represent something that is very significant and core to who we are. Well, I mentioned photographs in this kind of family album because pictures are to our personal stories what dogmas are to the story of salvation. Now, what is a dogma? A dogma is the definitive interpretation by the church of a dimension of biblical revelation. The definitive interpretation by the church of an aspect of biblical revelation. This is what a dogma is. And today the church celebrates that dogma that has been most recently promulgated by the church, that is, made an official teaching. On All Saints Day, the 1st of November, in the year 1950, in an apostolic constitution entitled The Most Bountiful God, Pope Pius XII declared that the Blessed Virgin Mary, being the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did not die in the way that we die, but was brought soul and body into heaven. And the beautiful thing about the dogma that was made an official teaching of the church on the 1st of November in 1950 is that this was a teaching, this was a feast that had been celebrated for centuries. But on this day, Pope Pius XII declared, we need to have this photograph to put into the album of salvation history. And what is the significance of this most important day? Well, another pope, St. John Paul II, on the 22nd of December in 1987, was speaking to the Roman Curia, that is the leadership in Rome, in the Vatican. And listen to what John Paul II said about Our Lady and this Feast of the Assumption. To quote him, "Mary was the first disciple who, by her assent to the angel's message, made possible the incarnation of the Son." And of course, that's part of the theme that we had in that reading from Revelation, that Mary, giving her yes to the Holy Spirit, is then able to conceive and give birth to the Savior. And so the first thing that John Paul II would have us understand is she is the first disciple who gives her assent to Jesus. And then the Pope goes on to say, the incarnation has been extended in history through the church. That's us. Nicholas, that's you in a special way, that the church is being extended through you as you will receive Jesus this morning. And we are, as the Pope says, the mystical body of Christ. Now, here's the connection with the Assumption. Mary's Assumption into heaven prefigures, that is, it anticipates the glorification of all who will be saved. Isn't that beautiful? We have confidence that just as Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul, one day our soul will be reunited to a resurrected body and we will be like her. Now, St. John Paul II then goes on to say, Mary therefore provides for us three things. First of all, a profile of what the church is. Secondly, a profile of how we should live. And thirdly, our destiny as disciples. The church, what she is, how we are to live, and our destiny. What a beautiful picture this is. This dogma that has been given to us, because it says to us the goal of our discipleship is to be like Mary, to be glorified with her before the Blessed Trinity. But having such a picture of our future destiny is to inspire us in the present to live a certain way. And so, what is the church called to be? Well, the church is that community that takes seriously those pictures that capture clearly how God is working out salvation in our lives. And when we think of what we heard in today's gospel, something about the nature of the church is captured by the first words when Luke says that Mary went with haste. Do you know that in Luke's gospel, went with haste is used three times? It's used when the shepherds are in the field at Christmas and when the angels announce to them the birth of Jesus, we're told they went with haste. And then in the 19th chapter of Luke, when that tax collector, Zacchaeus, is up in the tree in Jericho and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I must come and stay at your house today. Do you know what Luke tells us? Zacchaeus went with haste. And here's the third time. Mary, when she's going to the home of Elizabeth, she went with haste. The church is called to be a community of purpose. The church is called to be a community of energy. The church is called to be a community of direction because we understand that through Christ, God is working in us. And with Elizabeth, we want to hear the words said to us. And blessed are they who believe that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And that's a key part of what it means to be the church today, that we trust in God, that in the midst of everything that we are facing, God is working out his purposes. And you and I are part of this overarching story that one day the family album will be complete. And we'll look and say, there I am in the story of salvation. So if the church is called to be this community of energy, this community who goes with haste, well, how are we to live in the world? Well, in her Magnificat, Mary says that we live very differently from the values of the world. For you see, in the world, the powerful are admired and emulated. And this is a distorted telling of humanity's story. We are called to learn the way of humility and trust. We are called to learn, in the words of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little way, to be the little flower, to be those who are willing to live a hidden life. But in living this life, we are being shaped more and more into being the people of God. So we're called to live with purpose. We're called to be a people of humility. And thirdly, we are to anticipate that in the end, every enemy will be defeated, that Christ will be all and all. And that is the theme of what St. Paul writes in the passage from Corinthians. And then, of course, that beautiful text from the book of Revelation, where St. John says, a great portent, that is a great picture, a great image, a great image appeared in heaven. And what was that image? A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. That's our destiny. But in conclusion, let me say that because we live in the world, we know that there is another portent. There is this great dragon that is spoken of in the Revelation. Because you see, in a world like this, we are engaged in a battle. In a world like this, there is one who wants to defeat us. In a world like this, there is one who wants to say to us, disregard the church. Don't live with haste. Don't live with purpose. Don't live with humility. Live for yourselves. Well, today, because of the dogma of the Assumption, we've got this remarkable photograph. This photograph that affirms for us that because we know our destiny, Nicholas, you can learn with us to live with purpose, to live with haste, and to live lives of deepening humility. Thanks be to God for Our Lady, for her Assumption, and for what this means for your picture and mine.